This was the first year that Lamar didn't come with us. He was at home with his mum. We knew he'd miss it, and he did. He missed being at the father and son retreat. And obviously, last Sunday, we were all together at Bracknell. You know, it's there was a certain, during the service last Sunday at Bracknell, there was a certain nine-year-old whose identity I absolutely have to keep a secret. Okay. He turned to his mum, Paige, during the service, and said, "Mum, what's going on? We usually only sing three songs." And now we're singing five or six. I think he just couldn't understand what was going on. But, you know, apart from him and maybe a few of the other kids, it was really encouraging, the service that we had last Sunday. Lots of people have said, you know, some great things about it. I really feel grateful to Malcolm for thinking of it and then obviously putting it in place and just giving us an opportunity to experience that. There was one particular brother that I was speaking to about it, and the way he described it, he said it just felt like we had the space to be God-centered rather than us-centered because of the focus on Psalm 100, the prayers that were interwoven through the first five songs, the fact that we weren't just constrained to, you know, three songs and then it's the welcome, and, you know, the formula that a certain boy noticed and thought, we've got to do it this way. Of course, I won't tell you that his father was one of the song leaders, just because obviously that would give it away.
Oh, no. Don't.
But, you know, as the brother who shared this idea of, you know, just having space to feel God-centered, that resonated with me. And, you know, for those of us that are song leaders, we found it incredibly refreshing as well to be part of that, to not have the usual constraints. When Malcolm asked me to preach a few weeks ago, he asked if I could preach today, and I was praying about what to share, what to focus on. And what came to mind was Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42, the story of Mary and Martha. And it's a story that resonates so much with my heart, because about 6 years ago, I was dealing with a lot of I was wrestling with my faith, wrestling with how I saw God, wrestling with what it meant to really live a life that was connected to Him. And Luke 10, as I was studying that, I felt called to take a sabbatical from song leading. Now, I know what you're thinking. Obi, does that mean song leading is a terrible thing? No, of course not. But the reason I felt that was because I just came to this realization that I was engaged in a lot of activity. I was doing a lot for God. I didn't always feel that my heart was with God. And I felt that I needed to take a bit of time out to connect with Him and really get to know Him and know His heart. I felt, and maybe you can relate, a little bit like this, that it, you know, it's possible to be around God and yet still feel like He's a stranger. You know, I'm singing and leading, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God, and, you know, Prince of Peace, and my Lord, He done done, and I'm singing about these things, and then I'm looking at the words and thinking, but God, I don't feel like, you know, those words and the reality of who You are and Your power and Your love and Your ways, I don't see it sinking into my heart. Instead, and Cole talked a little bit about this earlier, I look at my week and it's filled with stress and worry and challenge. And I just felt that, Father, there's a disconnect here. And I need to go on a journey of reconnecting with you.
Yeah.
So that I'm not just, you know, one of those guys who's become so religious and engaged in activity, but I've missed your heart.
Yeah.
And that's why for me Luke 10 is so powerful, and it came to mind obviously a couple of weeks ago, and also as I was speaking to that brother last week. So I'd like us to turn to Luke 10. I'm also going to show some of the verses on the screen so you can follow both places. So in Luke chapter 10, we're introduced to these two characters, Mary and Martha, and a few others. So it says here, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way. Now it's important to just bear in mind that it wasn't just Jesus going to this location, it was his disciples. So he had 12 people with him. So that's important to bear in mind. So he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And so this is amazing, right? So Martha clearly has a great heart. She's opening her home, not to one, not to five, if you're having, say, the Abuchi family over, or six, if you were having Iggy and Monica and their family over. Anyone for seven? No sevens here? No. She was here, Martha was opening her home to 13 people. And that's assuming we're not talking, because early on in Luke, you know, Jesus was talking about the 72. So it might have been 73 people he was opening his home. She was opening her home to, but I think it was the 13. So clearly a great heart, right? Hospitable, right? Yeah, so a great heart. So let's read on. It says she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. How dare she? You know, preparation should be going on, and she's sitting at the Lord's feet. Because watch this, you know. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made for 13 hungry men who needed to eat and were no doubt hungry. And she came to him, she came to Jesus, and said, Lord, don't you care that here I am slaving away in the kitchen, making food for you and your disciples, and my sister has left me to do this work by myself? Tell her to get up and help me. That was her heart. And you know, so here is a woman. She's thinking, hey, I've got to help her. I've got to do something here for my Lord. I'm not just going to let him be on his own and have nothing to eat, even though he's clearly focused on teaching and my sister is engaged with this. So what's going to happen? You know, what is he going to do? You know, the interesting thing here is where you look at Martha's heart. She was clearly keen to serve her Lord. Yeah, she was engaged in good activity.
Yes.
But how much of this do you see there, though? You know, it's I've got to make it quick, and I don't know how long they were there for. Maybe she was thinking, oh, it's 13 people this time, and I want to make sure they feel happy about the food and they enjoy it and they like it. And, you know, their feet are dirty and I don't know if anyone was going to help, you know, make sure their feet were washed and we've got to get the water. And we don't know. We have no idea if she knew Jesus was coming with his disciples or it was just, hey, they were some way off and she heard and she started making the preparations. We have no idea, but we see someone engaged in inactivity, busy, and yet also had the relationship with Jesus to go up and say, Jesus, rebuke my sister for me. You know, get involved here. Don't just leave this to me to deal with. But how aware was she of Jesus's heart? Or was she someone who was around God, around Jesus, and yet in many ways she was a stranger to his heart, what he's really about, to his love, to his ways, to his power. You know, as I said 6 years ago, when I took that sabbatical, I felt, you know, God, I'm at church on a Friday and a Sunday. It wasn't like there was some, you know, big overt sin that motivated me to take this sabbatical, but it was just, God, I feel like I'm around, I'm doing stuff, but I felt like a stranger to your ways, to your heart, to your power, to your love. I'm coming along to the services and I feel that my main identity is, you know, it's to song lead, and I'm not seeing that connection to others or the connection to you. And you know, maybe you can relate. Maybe there are areas in your life and, you know, you come along and you sing and you hug and you connect with people, but then on Monday it's almost as though God and Jesus, it's a distant memory, because there's the challenges and the struggles and the stresses and the worries and the difficulties of life. Just this week I made a list of some of my burdens. I just thought, God, I'm going to pray about these things. And it was the car and the turbo boosters gone on the car, and Nissan are saying it's going to cost £2,000 to replace, and then there's a problem with the tire, and then there's a leak in the home, and HomeServe came over and they couldn't find the leak, so they had to go away and they're going to send the leak detection team to come and find the leak. And then there's my mum and trying to figure out her accommodation, and then there's various projects at work that all need to be done tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
And and I just think, well, and that's just this week, Father, and there's some other things on the horizon. And it could be all of these struggles, these challenges can somehow, and sometimes they can just crowd out Jesus in our lives. And he's there, or you can see him, but you forget his power, you forget his love. And you go to him and you're thinking, you know, Jesus, come on, you know, deal with these guys, and or deal with the HomeServe people, or deal with Nissan. You know, they're terrible. I mean, they've got good cars. You know, generally, I feel that. But on this occasion and with this issue, it's been a bit of a sore point for me. But I can pray, you know, God, sort these things out. But not always connect with what God's agenda is and where his heart is at and what's really important to him. So with all of this tension, with all of the stresses and the challenges that we face, what's Jesus's answer to this? How do we deal with this? How do we deal with this pressure, the stress, the tension, the challenge? Well, let's take a look at how Jesus responds to Martha. Martha, Martha, you terrible woman. All of these stresses and... No, he doesn't say that. He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. In some versions, it actually says, Martha, dear Martha.
Aww.
Yeah, I just love the compassion of Jesus. Yep, she... may not really connect with his heart or his ways, but it's not some, you know, ringing rebuke he's about to give her. You just, there's a tenderness with what he's about to say. It says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You know, the compassion of Jesus as he just points her heart to what really matters here. You know, Jesus cuts through everything and all of the challenges and the struggles and the stress and the worries. I think makes this incredibly compelling point to us that God wants you, he wants you and me to be before he wants us to do. He wants us to be with him before doing for him. And it's so easy, because when all of the struggles and the challenges of life are pulling you away, it's hard to think, okay, well, God, I want to be with you and spend time in your word and worship and sing. We want to get on. I mean, if you're like me anyway, as a sort of a recovering Martha-holic, it's just, I just want to do, you know, it's just, okay, well, all of these struggles, all of these challenges, I just want to dive in and do. And yet Jesus, you know, here it's, "Hey, Martha, Martha, yeah, I know. Of course we need to eat. Of course my disciples need to eat." Now, of course, I could feed them with just 5 loaves and, you know, 2 fishes, but that's not really the point. I know we need to eat. But here, you know, I came into your home and I was teaching, and your sister focused on the most important thing. She chose to be with me before doing for me. I think there are so many reasons why God wants us to live this way, to live where we prioritize be over do. But I want to share 3 with you. The first one is in John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, "You know, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." He goes on in a few verses later to say, you know, if my word remains in you and you remain in me, then you will bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And I think God wants us to be continuously fruitful as human beings, whatever we're doing. And that comes from choosing to be with him before doing for him. Because he's saying, you have no idea how much power, how much peace you get to access when you are with me, instead of going out and trying to do it in your own strength. So I want you to be continuously fruitful. So to prioritize be over do. I think that the second reason, and Paul talks about this and connects to the heart of our Lord in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything." In case that wasn't clear. Anything. It's like, really, Lord? Yes. Anything.
Yeah, come on.
So you know those things you're thinking about? Yep, that too.
Yes.
You know, so all of that, when Carl asked earlier on, you know, so for those of you that have the lower stresses, kind of that. The moderate stress, yeah, that stuff. And for all of us that have the, you know, high stress, yeah, that stuff too. Just don't be anxious about it.
Wow.
I love the way it's described in the Message. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Amen. And it's quite a powerful thing, isn't it? So when we pray and also when we have worries and stresses, it's an opportunity to say, actually, I'm going to turn to Jesus now. Rather than away from him. And so maybe sometimes the Lord allows us to have these things because he says, well, you know, through them, I'm going to let you connect to me if you're doing this. Because every time you're faced with a worry that's just bigger than you, and in fact most of them are, it's an opportunity to say, I can't do this, Father. Mm. You know, help me here. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Wow. Now, if you're like me, a lot of the time worry is displacing Christ at the center of my life. And challenges and difficulties and struggles. And you know, Paul is saying, hey man, our Father in heaven wants you to have access to some unexplainable peace.
Wow.
But you've got to choose to be before do.
Mm.
And the third thing, the third reason why God wants us to prioritize be over do, it's actually back in those final verses. And there are others. You know, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but a few things are needed, or indeed only one, and Mary has chosen what is better. This idea of choosing what is better, knowing how to choose what's best is wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God wants to give us this amazing, bless us with this eternal wisdom, because he said it won't be taken away from her. She's chosen what's best. Mm. It won't be taken away from her. You know, you want to have access to just unexplainable peace. You want to be continuously fruitful in your life. Not that there will be no worries or no struggles or no challenges, but you'll be fruitful through it. Mm. And you want to have this eternal wisdom that just enables you to choose what's best all the time, then prioritize B over do. You know, I think God longs for you, longs for me to be with him before he wants us to do for him. You know, this is, I guess, our choice today, really. We live in a Martha world. Jesus made it very clear. In this world, you will have troubles. You will have struggles. You will have challenges. The Bible says, you know, we're meant to be in the world, but not of it. But being in the world means it comes with all of the impact of the fall, all of the difficulties, all of the struggles, all of the challenges. I wish that becoming a Christian meant all of a sudden we're out of these difficulties and these challenges and it's sort of a parallel universe running at the same time. I'm a big fan of a lot of the Marvel stuff and The Flash, and there are different worlds in there, so you can be, you know, world X and 45 and this or that, and it's just, you know, different things about those worlds, and I wish that's what we had access to, but certainly not for now. The reality is, right now, I can absolutely predict that tomorrow you'll have a challenge, at least one challenge. It's just the realities of living in this world. Hopefully, you won't have two or three and have to write a burdens list like I did this last week. You know, but we've got an option. We could choose to do B before and think maybe God, I've got to help you out a bit, and so I'm even going to command you, come on, get with the program here. I know what needs to be done, Father. We're going to rush around, we're going to be busy and have no time to connect. Or be indignant. We'll be so focused on doing 101 things and moving at 100 miles an hour. We can be worried and trust in our abilities to do things and our strengths and our talents. Be so concerned with worldly things. We can even think, you know, the people around us, man, they should help us get out of these, all of these stresses and struggles and challenges. Or in the midst of all of that, we could listen to Jesus and say, you know, what you say, what's in your word is more important than anything. And yes, I have struggles, and yes, I have challenges, but I want to be in your word to hear what matters most. I want to sit down and be with you and sit at your feet and pray and praise and,
yeah,
and worship and focus on what matters most and be concerned with godly things and knowing that you are going to help me and that maybe I won't be able to tick everything off my to-do list, because as I tick 6 off, 10 come onto it.
Yes.
So maybe I won't be able to do that, Father, and maybe I am going to die with so many things unfinished, but at least my gaze will be on you, because I am choosing to be with you before doing things I need to do, and even things for you, I'm choosing to be with you. We've got an amazing Father,
yes,
and you hear in the, you know, communion, he sent Jesus to so that we'd be reconciled to him, and so that we would be people that experience the richness of his kingdom, where we get to. And that means just, you know, prioritizing doing, or being, should I say, before doing. And just because he wants to give us this unexplainable peace. It's just a peace you won't be able to tell people about it. It just doesn't make sense. You know, all of this is going on in your life, and yet you've got this foundation of trust. It just doesn't make sense. You know, that's the sort of peace he wants to give us access to. Where we're continuously fruitful because we're just rooted in the source of all fruit, and through the difficulties, the challenges, the struggles, our lives are bearing fruit. Fruit of character, fruit of friends connecting with God and wanting to know what is it in your life? What is it about that you're able to smile through those difficulties, bearing that fruit? And then just having access to this eternal wisdom where we know what is right and we're able to just get rid of all of the fluff and say these things are most important.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm going to do. And our Father wants us to experience that at a level that will literally blow our minds.
Mm.
And to do that, it means he longs for you and me to be with him before we do for him. And here's my encouragement to you, just for this week. Before, you know, you may work during the day, and so your routine is the usual, you know, get up in the morning and go, and choose to prioritize being with God. Being with him in prayer and laying all of your burdens at his feet before you go and do life. And maybe you work nights and your routine is the other way around. You know, you get up at night and go. Well, again, just choose to be. Just try it for this week. Just recommit, commit to God. I want to be with you before doing for you, because I want to experience the richness, the fullness of everything that you want for me in your kingdom. And we can only imagine the difference that'll make in the places that we work, in the places that we live, where we study, in our homes. And may God give us just that richness of his kingdom as we prioritize be overdue. Amen.
Amen.